Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hi Aaliyah, how are you today?
I'm good, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am really pumped to be chatting with you. I cannot wait to dive into our conversation, but before we get started, can you please let the Hey Girl listeners know who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Aaliyah Wanick, and I have a women's wear line that I started in 2016. So I do that, and I also am a full-time speech therapist as well.
So I want to start with how your brand came to be. I forget how I discovered you, but I've been a customer for a couple of years now. And what really calls me to your work is the timeless, functional beauty of everything that you offer, especially the sweatshirts. You know I love those. I have like 10. We have so many. So let's start there. How did the brand come to be?
Well, saying that I do speech therapy full-time, I've always had a creative side to me that I wanted to express in some way. And I think from a younger age, I knew I wanted my own business, and it kind of morphed in different areas. But I landed on women's wear probably like, 10 plus years ago. And I was just like trying to build information, because coming from another industry, I had no idea how to even get into the fashion industry. So I spent a really long time just trying to like research and just, you know, gather as much knowledge as I could. And along the way, just thinking more about what I wanted to see in a clothing line and just like articulating more values that I think that I were coming along the way when I would just like as a consumer or a customer buy clothing. But I think when you turn around to wanting to have your own clothing line, it becomes more spotlighted on what exactly do you want to stand for in your clothing line. So you bringing up like timelessness, that's definitely a word that came up for me when I was thinking initially, like, how do I want to design? I want it to be my clothing to be in people's wardrobes for a really long time. And I want you to kind of not think too hard about putting it on, but then also style wise, like that really translating and coming through.
I love that. And that's exactly what it does for me as a consumer. And I think that's why I had to have every sweatshirt in every color, because it's like, I don't think twice about throwing on a sweatshirt. I'm an avid sweatshirt collector. A lot of people may not know this about me, but I have like at least 150 like summer new. I know, it's wild. My husband's like, yo, can I have any space in the closet? I have new ones like yours. I have vintage ones. And I don't know, there's just something about being able to grab a sweatshirt and throw it on. And I love that yours are versatile. I can dress it up or I can dress it down, which feels really good just with my laid back style anyway. So of course, I would love to dive into you being a full-time speech therapist, because I know I speak with a lot of entrepreneurs on this show, and some folks still have their full-time jobs. And I want to talk a little bit about navigating the two, especially now with your brand being so busy right now, and you still having a full-time job, you know, to cater to. So what's that been like for your creative heart and your, you know, professional heart?
Yeah. I think, you know, professionally starting off, 4 years ago, I think I was always kind of looking at the business as a business, but I was treating it more as a hobby. So I think initially I was able to go down to 4 days a week, and that, you know, one day a week I would devote to the business, and then on the weekends. And then I think as I slowly started, you know, increasing sales and gaining more visibility, it has gotten to a point where on like an emotional level, I feel like there's a very good balance between what I do and who I work with in speech therapy, and then also fulfilling the creative side. So I feel very balanced on that end. But I think that the increase in sales, visibility, traffic, everything, I am seeing the push and pull that's not becoming so balanced time-wise. So, you know, when I'm looking at my schedule now, I'm kind of working all the time. And for me, these are two things that I've chosen, and they're two things that I feel passionate about. So it may not feel like I'm drudging along, like working. So, you know, it's not feeling tiring in a sense, but I have seen just the effects of what it's taking on me, just in terms of like self-care, being able to relax. When there are days that I decide not to work on either one, I start to feel a little guilty, or I feel like I'm missing something, like it's going to come back and bite me. And I know that that wasn't how I felt initially. So I think those are things too, like when you're in a sense juggling two full-time jobs, you know that time is going to be sacrificed. Yeah, I think, you know, like creatively, I think they both have informed each other in a way. I think speech and the connections I make with people and the way I'm trying to get my students to connect with each other, that's how I also view trying to connect with my customers. And when I see people in person too, and I feel like I have to say before COVID, when I was seeing customers in person, like that's really important for me. It's important for me to connect with people in a more authentic, deeper way than just kind of interacting with somebody as, even though I'm just saying customer, but like just like customer, I'm selling you a product. And I think what's nice is for me, you know, I really am fascinated by people's style and what that says about their identity and what they're really trying to communicate to the outside world or to their environment, even how they're trying to communicate that within themselves. And so those are things that I really am interested in when I meet someone and when I'm talking to them. And I do think that that is a crossover from speech therapy, because I think when you say speech therapy, you think speech. I'm really working with young adults with disabilities on social skills. And so I'm really trying to work with them and figuring out, like, how do you really connect with other people? So yeah, they both intersect.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I want to talk about that intersection a little bit, because it brings me kind of to my next question of community care. And you do both with both of your jobs, with your speech therapy job and with offering garments to your customer. What have they individually and collectively kind of shown you about community as a whole, especially during this time with COVID and the uprisings and being a Black woman in this work on both spectrums, you know?
Well, I think I'll speak on it, you know, first from the clothing line perspective. I think community for me was really around other designers in the area, reaching out to them. And then I think, especially during this time and all the visibility, and then seeing too how my followers on social media, my customers, how they are commenting and how much they are really supporting me. It's been really nice to see that in terms of widening that community on that, in that way as well, which I don't know in some ways if that sounds kind of contradictory to when I was saying like I like talking to my customers in person, but I think social media can be a different space to navigate. I think for me, I'm so community for me in the first sense has always been like this in-person type of experience. So it's definitely me like broadening and expanding those circles of what community looks like for me. I've also been wanting to zone in more of like who I want to try to lift up as well. And I think for me, I want to pursue more lifting up other women of color, particularly Black women, creative artists, makers, to be able to spotlight them as well. Because I feel like as my platform grows, I feel like I want, you know, us to be seen collectively versus just like one of us, you know, or like pinpoints of us like here and there within this whole space. And then I think from speech therapy, it's been hard to be removed from everyone, or just now we're now seeing each other on screens. I think when we were able to see each other in person, it's so much energy exchange, you know, that you get to do, you get to shape, you get to expand on. And then when you are seeing someone on a screen, that can kind of mute those, that type of exchange with people. That's important for me, is that type of energy are you bringing to your community when it's ebbing and flowing, or it's just like, how is it shifting to hold that space for the people around you that you really care about? You know, my speech therapy community, my students, like, they are like family to me. My coworkers are like family. So for me, it becomes a bigger deal for me to make sure that the people around me feel love, they feel supported. And I think now during the pandemic, it's just, you know, at the beginning, a lot of my work shifted just to how is everyone coping? Like, what do people know what to do to cope with this? And I was checking in on, like, that was the beginning of my speech therapy work, was like really checking in on people and finding out, you know, just how is everybody doing and what types of care do they need? I would say that extends to other designers and people who are my friends, you know, like there's a lot of checking in to see how we're doing. I just actually came from a very small picnic with a few other designers where we were really just checking in because we hadn't seen each other, I don't know, in like 8 months or something. So yeah, we just wanted to see how each other was doing. So
it makes a lot of sense. I was going to ask in regards to meeting up with designers that you haven't seen in months and they are a part of your community. What was that like for you? If you could reflect on that as a form of self-care, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that was mentally and just emotionally like a really bright spot. This weekend in particular, I mean, California is dealing with so many fires and we've had really bad air quality for 3 weeks now. It's just been really tough around this time. And, you know, actually today we were able to meet and have the picnic. And I think just being able to speak about super detailed things that have to do with design or do with what's going on right now, and just knowing that you're around others who get it and who can speak that same language, it's very nice to have that. And then it's also nice to see people in person. I really haven't been too social during this time. You know, I'm a single woman. I mean, I think the most I've been doing is like going to the grocery store and walking my dog, you know, outside. So I've had very few interactions with my friends. It's like I almost favor it more and just really happy to see them. And also as I was leaving, I thought I need to find, I know I found my normal routine in this, but my normal routine in this is very isolated and I need to make sure that I do this, you know, in a more regular sense. Like for me, you know, it's all, we're all dealing with different levels of comfort. How comfortable are you meeting up with, you know, even if you're doing the social distancing, you're wearing the mask, you know, there's still this level of anxiety around possibly catching it. But I think for me, what I knew is, yeah, from like a self-care perspective, like I can't sleep on this. Like I can't, letting another 8 months go by, I don't think is good for me self-care wise. So I think that it's just now we're trying to find like some new sense of gathering, you know, with this.
I love that, how you put that, a new sense of gathering. I think that's so important too. I'm a family of five, but we're still, we're not doing anything. We're home. We have two little babies. We have a 12-year-old who's homeschooling, and it can start feeling a little bit claustrophobic, but as you mentioned, like the comfort level thing, you know what I mean? It's still a real thing, that fear. And also me like understanding that, like, I really miss my people and I really miss my friends, and like sitting in that grief a little, being open with my husband about like the space I need, you know what I mean? Because we've been in the house for 7 months. It's wild.
Yeah.
So just to round off our conversation, I would love to hear a little more about your self-care practice and maybe what you want it to look like. I know that you said that it can be kind of challenging, but moving forward, it could be one day a week. What do you want to make more space for in your self-care practice?
I've been thinking, you know, that's something I would say is actively on my mind, because I do have the personality that when I want change, I want to do everything at once, and I can go hard at something and then fall off. And that in itself is not really a good space to do self-care from, is to try to go hardcore with it. So I've been trying to kind of implement things that become routine. And I think the biggest thing for me is I grew up and I was an athlete, and I always had exercise in my routine, but it was always for like the purpose of losing weight or, you know, like training. But I think now during this time, I got back into it. I hadn't exercised for a really long time, and then I just got back into it a couple months ago. And I think just from like a mental health standpoint, it's really helped keep me even. So I feel like if I had those dips of really feeling anxious or down and just like worried, concerned, I realized that my exercise has really kept me more even. And so I'm not dipping as low into those feelings or those emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's been something I've been really proud about, because it just is a different for me now to look at exercise from that sense than to look at it from like, oh, well, I want to lose like 10 pounds, you know. That's been really big. And I think also too, other things I'm getting into, I burn sage, I like to have like different scents that I am taking in to help from like a calming perspective. I think it also just helps me center my thoughts too, in a way. So I've been doing that. Yeah. And I'm not the biggest on cooking, although I really would like that. Like in my vision of myself, I'm like this really great chef and like easily put together meals that are so delicious.
Yeah.
And right now I'm like, you know, using like a meal service delivery. Like I'm cooking from that, but that is starting to feel good, because I'm definitely someone who can prepare food, but I'm not someone so much who cooks. But when I have, like in these last like week or two, I've been cooking different meals that I wouldn't normally eat on my own. Mm. And that has been feeling really good. That's been feeling like added to my self-care. And then I think just also too, like keeping the routine, like even though I'm kind of isolating myself so much, like I walk my dogs at the state park, and there's always, you know, regular people who are walking around the same time I am. So just like getting out and like smiling at people. I'm a very smiley person. Like wearing a mask and stuff, it really kind of cuts down on what you're non-verbally communicating to people in a way.
Yes.
But when I get to walk my dogs, it's such a distance area that it's nice to be able to wave or smile to people. And that's been something that I look forward to just socially on a daily basis.
Hey, so I'm popping in here before we go because I forgot to ask Aaliyah about something that is so special and meaningful about her work. Something that really encouraged me to be a customer in the first place and be a continued and repeat customer for the long haul. Aaliyah only uses Black models on her website. And when I first saw that, one, Aaliyah was a Black woman, and two, that she used women in her photos who looked like me and my daughters and my people, I got emotional. Like I could feel my body doing something. Like I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And I didn't want to let this episode end without bringing that to light, and also just the meaning behind that. And Aaliyah captures all the photos herself. She's the photographer. So a Black woman taking photos of Black women and just being seen from that lens and through that eye, seeing each other in that way, that is sisterhood. That is beauty. That is so much joy and goodness that I think is important, especially in the fashion industry. So thank you, Aaliyah, for your work and for your representation and for the timelessness of your offerings. I will be a customer for life.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.
The Hey Girl podcast is produced by Wayne Bertram and me, Alex L.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.